Hallelujah. Lord God, we are thankful today, Lord. We are grateful today that you didn't leave us alone, Lord. You sent your Holy Spirit to dwell within true believers, Lord. You sent your Holy Spirit to speak to us and to show us things to come. And I pray that you help me communicate this today. Because, Lord, my spirit is heavy today. And, Lord, I pray that you help me communicate this to your people. Lord, we pray it today in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Did you get the cue stuff? All right. We'll put that up in a second. Trying to piece this all together, but the Lord helped me piece it together this morning. But I want to lay a foundation a little bit because, you know, I'm not ashamed of what God has called me to do. When I was a very young man at the age of 19 years old, the Lord called me to the ministry using Jeremiah chapter 1. So I want to turn there, please, to Jeremiah 1. I'm just going to start there for a minute. Lay a little foundation because really the Holy Spirit really pulled it all together for me while we were in worship there. Jeremiah chapter 1. There are times because of the calling on my life to be in the fivefold ministry that God has me operate as a teacher. And there's times he has me operate as a pastor, sometimes as an evangelist, sometimes as a prophet. Because his original call on my life was that of a prophet. And I'm not ashamed of that. There are New Testament prophets, different than Old Testament prophets, little difference. But let's just read Jeremiah 1. I remember 19 years old, December of 1987, right after an open vision of Jesus standing at the right hand of the glory of the Father in heaven. I had an open vision, and during that open vision, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and told me not to waste any time because there was little time left to spare. And I knew he was revealing to me that the ministry he was calling me to would have to do with end-time Bible prophecy and the fact that we would be living in those times. And I absolutely believe we are living in those times. Jeremiah chapter 1, I remember it was December, right after this open vision in October. I had an October of 87. I was reading the Bible. I opened the Bible one night late to this passage, and as I read this, the Holy Spirit came all over me so powerfully that I was just in tears. There was just a puddle of tears on the table because I got to this verse 5 or verse 4. He says, then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nation. I remember I'm a young man, newly repentant and turned to the Lord from my prodigal years. Then said I, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put the words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations, over kingdoms to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, to build, and to plant. So I was reading this, the Holy Spirit just, he brought this upon me. Now, of course, later in years, this was confirmed by other men of God that were true fivefold ministers, and God has sent me at times. God has sent me to governors, to judges, to leaders, to other pastors, to give them prophetic words from the Lord, or giving me words that got to them, to their families, and those words have come to pass. One recent situation, and I'm going to get into the issue of what the Lord's telling me this morning and what he's showing me through a dream I had last night and what he said to me while we were in worship just a minute ago. and some of the pieces of the puzzle that's starting to come together here. But I wanted to share this with you because dreams, prophetic dreams, have to be interpreted. And you don't always understand them when you first have them. And sometimes you don't want to fully understand the dream, if the prophetic dream of the Lord. You won't understand it until it actually begins to happen or it comes to pass. And I want to read another passage, and let's go to Acts chapter 2. Lay the foundation this morning. So there's a lot of people out there that don't believe, you know, that there are prophets anymore or apostles anymore, or, you know, they don't believe in the gifts of the Spirit anymore. And, you know, I actually feel sad for those people because not only are they completely deceived and misled, they're missing out on a lot that the Lord wants to do. Acts chapter 2, of course, this is Peter preaching on the day of Pentecost, the day the Holy Spirit came and filled the 120 believers in the upper room, and they spoke in tongues, prophesied, and supernatural tongues, the gifts of the Spirit began, and Peter stands up to preach to the crowd that's gathered around. And of course, people were saying, are these people drunk? And Peter says this. I'm going to start at verse 15, Acts 2:15. He says, for these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, Peter goes on to preach the gospel, how they killed the Prince of Life, the Messiah, and he rose from the dead. And of course, the conviction of the Holy Spirit saying, men and brethren, what do? They were pricked in their hearts. He said, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So it was a powerful day, but there's powerful truths here. God promised, he said, I will pour out my Spirit in the last days. And he said, I'll pour out my Spirit on your sons and on your daughters and on my handmaidens. I will pour out my Spirit. That means men and women. It means from the top leadership of the church down to the little babies. God said he will pour out his Spirit and he would speak to us. And notice he said they would prophesy. And I'm going to say it again. There's people out there that don't believe in the gift of prophecy for the New Testament church. That is probably one of the most ridiculous beliefs I've ever heard of. But the gift of prophecy, I've heard even within the charismatic and Pentecostal realm, people get it wrong. Oh, it's only for edification, exhortation, and comfort. Has nothing to do with foretelling the future. You look up the definition of the word in the Greek language. It means to speak by inspiration of God and to foretell your coming. I'm going to give you another passage here. Just wanted you to see. Sons and daughters would have dreams and visions. But again, those things have to be interpreted, discerned, and judged according to the scriptures. But they have to be interpreted. They're not always just plain. I mean, I'll give you this example here. Remember when Pharaoh had the dream of the stalks, you know, falling, you know, and then the calves and all that? And he had two different dreams. Well, that had to be interpreted. He didn't know what it meant. Judges came in, and God gave him the interpretation of the dream that there would be 7 years of famine, I mean, of plenty, of prosperity in the crops and the wheat. And then there would be 7 years of famine that would be so bad that it would devour the good years. Now remember, so it had to be interpreted. Pharaoh had a dream. It was a real dream, but he didn't know exactly what it meant. I have these sometimes from the Lord, and I know now after 31 years of this, kind of the ones that are from the Lord and the ones that are just, you know, from eating too much, spicy stuff before I go to bed, right? And a lot of times the Lord will speak to me. Now, I had a dream years ago many years ago, about 2011, about Obama, that some people said I'm a false prophet over because it didn't come to pass during Obama's presidency. But the Lord never said in the dream that Obama would be president. I want to point that out. In fact, once you receive the title of president, you're always referred to as president. But we'll get to him in a second. This has to do with him a little bit. Let's go to the Gospel of John, chapter 16. Oh, what am I thinking? I always get to thinking ahead. Go to John 16, just so you everybody sees this out there, because we have so many people that listen. Now, we checked the other day on YouTube, just on YouTube, mind-blowing, that just in the last 28 days, we've reached 205 countries viewing videos, and there's only 195 countries, so I don't know how that's quite possible. Yeah, there's some that aren't official countries that I guess they claim to be, right? Or YouTube recognizes them as independent states or whatever. I don't know. But anyway, it's pretty wild. So that means every nation, people from every nation in the world viewing videos at different points in time. That's mind-blowing when you think of what Jesus said, and we're not the only ministry doing that. But you think of what Jesus said. He said, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world, and then the end shall come. Not a watered-down gospel. Not a gospel that denies the deity and the divine nature of Jesus as God in the flesh. Not a gospel that denies repentance. Not a gospel that denies there is a heaven and there is a hell. No. There's a lot of things claiming to be the gospel out there. It's not the gospel. But God said he would have his people that would have the gospel, and it would go to the whole world. And it really is. Let's read this John 16, where Jesus spoke here of the Holy Spirit. And if it doesn't get any clearer than this, I don't know what else will convince you. John 16, verse 13. This is Jesus. He says, howbeit when he, Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. So he said, the Holy Spirit will speak. He will show you things to come, and he shall glorify me. You want to talk about what's from Jesus? What's from the Holy Spirit? He's the Spirit of truth, right? He will speak to you. He will guide you into all truth. He will show you things to come. That's the very definition of the gift of prophecy and the very purpose of prophetic dreams and visions. Is that God will speak to you and reveal to you and show you things to come. I want to go to one more verse. Let's go to Amos chapter 3. We're going to be all over the place. I say one more verse, but we'll be all over. Go to Amos 3, verse 7. Because I'm just going to plainly say some things this morning. I'm just going to be honest, I feel the Holy Spirit all over me, like he came upon me over there. So this is, my wife will tell you, even driving to church, I'm like, I don't know what in the world I'm doing today. The Holy Spirit, just keep waiting on him. But Amos 3 says this, Amos 3, 7. He says, surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. So, I just want to say the Lord reveals things beforehand. All right, now, there's a lot of people out there right now, and a lot of people claim to be Christians, who are absolutely getting on my nerves. Actually getting on my last nerve when it comes to President Trump. Now, I'm going to restate a word of prophecy that the Lord gave me in January of 2016. Okay, that was 1 year before the election. 1 year. In fact, it was before the primaries even started. When there was like, I don't know how many people were in the primary, the Republican primary for president. It was a big group. You know, including Jeb Bush was in it, and Ted Cruz, and, you know, a bunch of people. Lindsey Graham, I think, was in it, a bunch of people. And, of course, at that time, the liberals, the media, the Hollywood people, the fake news, CNN, MSNBC, and all the rest of them, I mean, they laughed at the fact of the possibility of Donald Trump being president. And listen, I want to just go ahead and inform everyone out there. I am fully aware that over many, many decades in America, that both Republicans and Democrats have been serving the same masters, that they have been, as they say, the two wings of the same bird at times. And I have made that very clear that, for instance, there was no difference between the Bush family, the Clinton family, or the Obamas, and we could even go back and talk about others, okay? I understand the Illuminati. I understand the entire thing, which is why when the election began to draw near and we got into 2016, I was going to have absolutely nothing to do with it. Because just like in 2008, we had a choice of John McCain or Obama. That was no choice. They were the same. They were working for the same Luciferian Illuminati masters. So there was no choice whatsoever. Then, of course, we had in 2012 the decision between Obama and Mitt Romney, the Mormon. Right? Once again, no choice. But, folks, I want to tell you, and I'm going to tell you this right now, because there's a bunch of people out there saying Trump's just the devil, he's a Freemason, he's all this stuff, he's a Satanist, he's part of it. I'm going to tell you what, probably I would have agreed with you had not the Holy Spirit come upon me so powerfully in January of 2016. And the Holy Spirit came on me. I was not praying about the election. I was not thinking about the election. In fact, I was getting ready for a Sunday morning service. It had nothing to do with politics or presidential candidates or anything like that. And I'm praying, and the Holy Spirit comes upon me. Now, one thing, you can disagree with me if you want, but my job is to tell people what God tells me to tell them, whether you like it, whether you don't like it. And if all you have is speculation, and I'm telling you I have a word from God, I really don't care about your speculation. Once I have heard from the Lord Jesus Christ by his Spirit, none of your speculation anymore matters to me. None of your accusations, none of your wild theories, and yes, some conspiracy theories because you don't have proof of a lot of the things that people throw out there. But I'm going to say this right now. The Holy Spirit came upon me as a man of God, as a born-again Christian, as a man called to the fivefold ministry, as a man called to be a prophet. I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit came on me and said these words to me. He said, "It is my will for Trump to be president of the United States." And the power of God was on me so strong, the tears were running down my face. And the Lord said to me, he said, "I will turn his heart toward me," meaning he was not a Christian. This was not ever about him being a born-again Christian or doing everything right or saying everything right. And the Lord said to me, he said, "It will be far better for you, Christians, and for your country if he becomes president of the United States. I will use him," the Lord said. "I will anoint him, and he will fulfill my purposes." And then the Lord spoke to me about how God raised up Cyrus the Great. And Cyrus was a pagan. He was not a Jew. He was not in touch with Yahweh, the Creator, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
But God spoke about Cyrus 150 years before he came and said his name in the Bible to the prophet Isaiah, that I will raise up Cyrus, mine anointed, and he will do my will. And God raised up Cyrus for his people. It doesn't mean Cyrus was perfect, or that he was right, or that he was a prophet, or that he was a king, or that he was anything special except the fact that God sovereignly raised him up for a purpose, for multiple purposes. And folks, I'm going to tell you right now, God raised up Donald Trump to be president of the United States for his purpose. And you Trump haters out there, especially you Christians, you are in error and you are deceived. You have no idea how much is being done behind the scenes to fight for you and to fight to keep this country from completely collapsing under the weight of the New World Order, Luciferian, satanic plan that's coming. If Trump had not been elected in 2016, Buy America, and listen, I'm not one of those that don't believe none of the votes. No, you can't. There's no way you fake it in all the states. So I'm not. There's people out there, oh, it's all rigged ahead of time. Every bit of it. Really? You know that, right? This is what I'm saying. I do believe that it was a miracle, a sovereign act of God to ensure he became president, even in the midst of Democratic Clinton rigging of the election and voter fraud in many Democratic states and districts. It was a miracle. And folks, I want to tell you right now, the pedophiles are getting busted left and right. But you better hear what I'm about to tell you. All right? The Lord spoke to me as ever he spoke to me about anything a minute ago. And he said, there will be a coup against the President of the United States. Whether it is done from the inside, trying to make him look crazy, trying to state he's crazy, but I'm going to tell you who the traitor is. It's Pence. I'm telling you. It's Mike Pence. He's the traitor. He's Benedict Arnold. He's the Judas in the administration. And I'm just going to tell you guys, the moment Trump goes down, whether it's in the election in 2020, whether it's in 2024, whether they get to him and assassinate him, or they get enough people to turn against him from within and get him impeached or thrown out under some fake charge that he's crazy and Article 25, whatever coup they work to get him out, the moment he is removed from office or is gone from the presidency, you will have to know that it's been because of a coup against him. Unless for some strange reason he manages to stay in there until 2024. That would be a blessing to us. I don't know how it's going to happen, because it isn't real. Now you need to hear what I'm saying. Say, well, Pastor Dean, how do you know that? Well, if anybody knows, if anybody remembers, and you can go back to my old blog talk shows back, they're all still online. From January, February, March 2016. I said from then, and my wife can testify, Kevin can testify, Paul can testify. I said back then, Trump made a big mistake when he put Mike Pence as his vice presidential running mate. I know that Mike Pence pretends to be a Christian, but he is not. You just mark my words on that. And just like some others have done, there was this pressure on Trump to try to unite the party, to try to unite the Republicans around him. And so all the Republican neocons and traitors in the Republican Party push to have Mike Pence on the ticket because he's been the deep state's safeguard. He's been the deep state. He's the He's the booby trap. He's the plant. And I said it back then. I said, that decision may very well sink Trump. And that's why I said back then, we need to pray. I don't think any of you comprehend. It's been most of you out there, too. I mean, just so funny that so many that think that they are truthers are still so deceived because they just listen to each other and not the Lord. See, there's a difference between just listening to everybody's theories and thinking you're a truther and listening to what the Holy Spirit of God is saying and what the Word of God is saying. But I want to show you something here. Let's put this up. This is, and I'm not going to get into it all. If you guys don't know who Q is, go and do it. But Q is an anonymous source that started leaking information on these 8chan and some of these other places where information dropped, encrypted information can be dropped. And it's a long story. Most people know that Q absolutely has to be someone very close to and very loyal to the president or the president himself. But they do believe it's a small group around the president. And there's things that Q has released, information that Q has released that's come to pass exactly like he said, that only could have come from someone who knows. Even predicting John McCain's death down to the day. To the day. It's pretty impressive. I'm not going to get into it. I don't have time. But Q kept revealing that one of the problems was this P person. He kept putting this P and putting in parentheses. And so I've listened to different people, you know, try to interpret, because some of Q's stuff is kind of like in riddles, almost. It's kind of covert language because there are things he just can't come out and say everything. But when this came out, there's this one guy named Praying Medic that does Q breakdowns. And I think most of the time he gets it right. Unfortunately, Praying Medic is one of those Christians that's into the whole contemplative mysticism, so you can't really listen to him on anything else. But he was breaking this down, and of course he was like, Q posts, the chair serves the master. Who is the master? P equals C, Q. And someone asked him, who is P? And so people started speculating, and you know, different ones on the anonymous posting, who is P? The Pope? This person? That person? And who is P? Who's the leak? And then, of course, there was a recent leak within the administration or, you know, an anonymous attack from an anonymous source in the Trump administration turning against the president. And, of course, Q addresses and talks about it. But it says the chair serves the master. Well, the president is the leader, the master, who serves the president. Who's also the chair, though, of the Senate and also of NASA. It's Mike Pence. And then I found out last night that Mike Pence created his own PAC to raise money for 2020. No vice president has ever done that in history. There you go. Pence creates PAC ahead of 2018-2020 elections. Keep going. Roll through some of those. Interesting. This guy, John Podesta. John Podesta worked for the Clintons. He was Obama's chief of staff. He's also a known pedophile. He's also part of the whole Pizzagate, Pedogate thing. The WikiLeaks exposed him and his brother as two big-time pedos. Him and his brother, they have pedophile art in their homes. It's so creepy, I can't even show it to you. I was busted. This guy needs to go to prison. All right? But this guy right here is like this with Obama, like this with Clinton. He's the one going to the spirit cooking, the occult satanic rituals with that witch, Maria Abramović, or whatever her name is. There is all this. They are Satanists. They are pedophiles. They are Luciferians. They are part of the entire New World Order plan. And you can say what you want, but Trump is not part of this plan. They hate his guts, and they want him dead, or they want him out of office because he is in the way. And I'm going to tell you, the Holy Spirit revealed that to me in 2016, that he would be in the way of the plan and that he would be in grave danger and that we must pray for him if you want to see your country survive for any amount of time. John Podesta, this man is so evil. I can't even tell you. I can't even tell you how evil this man is. He says, he tweeted, "Real witch hunt begins. The sleeper cells have awoken. Trump and aides shaken by resistance op-ed." Look who he tagged at Bill Clinton, at Barack Obama. Let me just say this so that you guys understand. When you hear the term the deep state, when you hear the term the swamp, when you hear the term the establishment, what we're talking about the people who have been entrenched, put in place by the Clintons, the Bush family, and the Obamas to be the traitors of our country to the United Nations and to the satanic New World Order that's coming. Trump is not part of that plan. You can, y'all can get all worked up about the Space Force thing. I see people always laughing up. Let me tell you, Trump has to go along with certain things. Who's pushing that? Let me tell you, the chair of NASA, who is Mike Pence. Trump, if he fights certain things, if he was dared to say, even if Trump believed the earth is flat, if he believed true biblical cosmology, and he said that, they would immediately, "You're crazy." Republicans and Democrats in the House and Senate would impeach him immediately. If he said, "Oh, no, we're not going to fund NASA," he would be impeached immediately. Come on, people, think a little bit. And I'm just here to tell you right now what the Lord told me was, and it was like, "Son, you better tell Christians to pray that Trump wins." Because I'm going to tell you, had Hillary won, we would already be getting lined up for FEMA camps. And you think I'm exaggerating? No, she would have already moved. And they would have already pulled a major false flag and gun confiscation and everything you can imagine. That was her goal. She said it outright. She said that there are a bunch of Americans that needed to go to fun camps because they just didn't get with the program. And when you know the truth about the FEMA camp situation under the Bushes and then the Obamas, they weren't joking, people. There are prison camps in America to put you in. And it's been planned since the 1980s. Garden plot. Night Train 84. I'm going to tell you, Americans, we just don't get it. They just don't get it. And they can't even recognize, this is what bugs me, they can't even recognize, either they're so asleep on one side that they can't believe it's all happening, or they're on the other extreme all the way that they can't believe that there's anybody that might stand up against it in the political and public arena like Trump. Listen, if I was a 70-something-year-old billionaire with children and grandchildren, if I knew what was coming to the world, the World War III and everything else that these Luciferians are going to perpetrate upon the world so that they can get control over it, if I was a 70-year-old billionaire, multi-billionaire, I would go buy an island somewhere and create bunkers and top-notch security for my family, my children and my grandchildren. Trump didn't have to step in to be president. This is what I don't get. One thing, you can say what you want about the man, but I know from the Lord and I know from this sermon that he loves this country. And yeah, I know he loves himself too. But let me tell you something. Somebody can put themselves in this kind of mess when they could just go retire to a nice tropical island somewhere and play golf until it's time to. I can't even say some of the stuff that I want to say. Frankly, I believe there's already been attempts on Trump's life. There are some traitors within. Now, let me go back to this morning, the dream I had, right before I woke up. I was dreaming that I was standing in my room talking to my wife, and she said, I heard the door rattle, or like the door open. And I thought, oh, that's weird. What's going on? And I walked over to the door, and we have two doors. We have a security door, and we have a regular door. And the regular door was just kind of cracked open a little bit. And as I opened to look out and see what was going on, the security door was still shut. But I looked at it, and it was this, you know, it was getting dark. This massive storm was brewing. I mean, it was getting dark, and the wind was starting to blow fierce. You know, when a storm's coming in. And shut the door and locked it, secured it, and I said, but we have a refuge right here. We're going to be all right. And when I woke up, really, when I really woke up, I heard rain and storm, so much so that I thought it was raining and storming, and I got up and went to the door to look out. And I know the Lord was telling me, the storm is coming, son. And I believe the door being cracked, not the full, that we had the security door, but the other door being cracked was to let you need to finish your preparations. You need to make sure there's no cracks. You need to make sure you've created your refuge. Because this storm's coming. It's coming. And it's coming to America, and it's going to come quicker than we think. Now, I'm not saying all this to scare anybody, but the Lord told me that I had to warn people, and I'm going to tell you, you need to start getting yourself ready spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically. Whatever you think is undone, you need to get done. I don't know how long it's going to take. Now, let me go back to the dream I had in 2011. The dream I had in 2011, I have to go back and go to the details. All I remember was that there was something terrible happened in the Northeast. In my dream, I'm thinking, is it a terrorist attack? Is it a nuclear attack? It was pretty bad. In the interpretation or my trying to figure it out, I said, well, is it some kind of nuke detonation in the Northeast, New York somewhere? But it was like somewhere up in that region up there, something bad happened. And, of course, at this time, Obama was president of the United States. And in this dream, I had some kind of job with government where I have a line where I could speak to President Obama. And so I knew that we had been attacked somehow. Again, remember, dreams have to be interpreted. I knew we had been attacked somehow. I didn't know what it was. I didn't know the extent of it. It looked like it was pretty devastating to an area on the East Coast and a highly populated area. And I was like, I knew it was enemies. Enemies of the United States of America. And I knew in the dream, it was like I had this revelation that we must fight back. We must retaliate immediately or we will be destroyed completely. That's all I remember. I mean, I just had this sense, this revelation. We must hit them back hard now to stop this from going any further. And I remember getting on the phone to try to talk to the president to see what the response was going to be. Didn't answer the phone. But in the dream, I knew where he was. So I run across town to this restaurant. And he was in this restaurant. It was like a cafeteria. And I remember it had circular tables. And I remember it had, like, you have the rope things, and you have to walk through the line, like, go to the cafeteria. So I remember there was a table about right back there, just a few feet away. And I came in. There's this rope thing. And he's sitting. I see him sitting at the table. He's not as far from me as Ian. He's right there. And I start hollering at him, President Obama, what is going to be the response to this? What is going to be the response? He wouldn't look up. He just ignored me and kept eating his meal. And as he keeps eating his meal, you know that in the movies where they zoom in on the person and it's like, the oh crap moment, I guess you would say, right? When they realize. And in the dream, I had that full revelation. He's in on this. He's part of this. He's done this, and he's not going to do anything about it. He's going to let this destroy our country. And as time has unfolded, what we have discovered is that these deep state Luciferians, Podesta, Clinton, they have been spending these years placing their satanic people in every level of government, in the CIA, in the FBI, in the NSA, in the State Department. In every realm. Why do you think Obama went through firing so many generals and putting people he wanted in when he was general after general after general after general he fired in place? We know that his Homeland Security chief and the CIA chief, Brenner, we know that they were Muslims. And Brenner had converted to Islam in Saudi Arabia many years ago. And we know they have planted both their satanic Luciferian, New World Order people, UN people, and Muslims. Because they know Muslims will do their bidding against Christians. These people have been placed in every facet of our government. I'm telling you, you have no idea the battle that is raging right now. People say, oh, America's battle on, America's this, America's part of the New World Order. Let me tell you something. There's always been two factions in America, not Republicans and Democrats. I'm going to say three. There's been the true born-again Christians that have prayed and agonized and interceded and watched the moral, spiritual decay in America, but have cried out to God for mercy and for revival. And as bad as American Christianity has slipped to, there's still always been a very strong remnant. And we've always been faithful to send missionaries and to send money to those missionaries. And we've always been faithful to try to spread the gospel to the world and use the prosperity and the freedom we have in America to push the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world. And I think because of that, God has had mercy on this nation. He has had great patience on this nation many times over, simply because of that remnant that keeps giving forth the gospel, that keeps praying, God, have mercy on us. Forgive us. Lord, help us. We want to reach the world, and we need a base to do it from. And God has blessed America because of that, not because of the unsaved, not because of the wicked, not because of the evil people that far outnumber. But God has been merciful to us. And you guys don't really, you don't really realize how many times that he has stepped in and saved America from complete annihilation. All it would take is one crazy Russian leader to decide to launch the missile. And we're done. Even if we launch back, we're done. We're finished. Who do you think his hand protects us? And I'm telling you, God raised up Donald Trump to stand in the way of that one more time. Have you prayed for that man? Because I'm telling you, if he goes, that's it. It will go downhill very fast. And I don't see anybody behind him that will take the mantle. I'm not saying there might be a general out there. I mean, it's so sad. You know what it's so sad is? George Washington said that our constitutional republic was only for a moral people, that our nation could only survive if we had morality. Well, we've lost that. But I'm here to tell you this morning, I'm going to tell you the Holy Spirit told me. Any move against the President of the United States is a coup d'etat. It will be an illegal, deceptive action to remove him. I pray against him. You know what I'm praying? I know the end times are coming. We're not going to avoid it forever. I know that. But just like the Lord told me in 2016 about Trump, he said, it will be much better for you in the days ahead, in the days of tribulation, for him to be your president than for him not to be your president. That doesn't mean he's perfect. That doesn't mean I agree with everything he does or says. That doesn't even mean he's saved. I don't know if he is or not. That's not what this is about. That's what it gets so much on my nerves, is that Christians can't ever see behind. If it's not a stamp on every little thing, then he can't be from. They forget that God even said he raised up Nebuchadnezzar for his purposes. He used the evil Pharaoh for his purpose. Does not the psalm say that the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord, and he turns it wherever he wills? You know, we had a president for 8 years called Barack Obama who hated Christianity, hated the Bible, and did everything he could against Christians. Now we have one that at least defends Christianity, and we still fight and complain and curse him and everything else. I'm telling you, most Christians are as ignorant and undiscerning as the day is long. And I'm sorry, but it just gets on my nerves. and they mock the president and they ridicule the president, how about spending some time on your knees praying that God will bless him and speak to him and give him wisdom and guide his words and guide his steps and protect him and use him to defend and protect our nation and our freedom? There is nothing wrong with that. Can he overcome the 8 years that Obama had to plant evil people in positions of government? And before that, Bush. And before that, Clinton. And before that, Bush. The entire news media, the CNN, MSNBC, they're all run by the CIA. Rogue factions of the CIA, they run the whole thing. You can't hardly believe anything you hear. Not from Fox News, not from CNN, not MSNBC, even Alex Jones, I question.
You better, Christian, you better listen to me. You better get with God. You better get in your Word, in the Word of God, in the Bible. Start reading it, studying it, and praying and seeking God until you hear his voice and discern the truth about what's going on. My sheep, John 10, 27, my sheep hear my voice. You know what that word is? The verb tense? It's a present tense Greek verb, here, there. That means ongoing, continuous action taking place in the present. It's not enough just to have heard from the Lord. You must continue to hear from the Lord. And if you do not spend time in prayer, in fasting, in reading the Word of God, you will not be tuned in to his frequency. And tuning into that frequency also means being able to hear God through other people when God speaks through other people. Because listen, God will speak to you. Let me tell you the different ways God will speak to you. He can speak to you through a dream, through a vision. The number one way he's going to speak to you is like he did when I was 19 years old and he called me to be a prophet to the nation. I was reading that scripture and he made it leap off the page and the anointing and glory come all over me and say, that's for you, son. He'll speak to you. You'll hear his still, small voice. The gifts of the Spirit will work and you will hear him speak and reveal things and show you things and give you discernment. Oh, there are so many wolves in sheep's clothing out there. Oh, I get called it too, so, you know, whatever. You better discern. Storm is coming. I want you to turn with me to Isaiah 60. Somebody turn to Isaiah 60. I'm going to read this to you. Verses 1 through 5. This is another passage of scripture that the Lord gave to me that jumped off the page and the Lord made alive. Verse 1, he says, arise and shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, darkness, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thine eyes round about and see. All they gather themselves together, they come to thee. Thy sons shall come from far. Thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. Then thou shalt see and flow together, and thy heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee, and the forces of the Gentiles shall come to thee. Now here's what I want to say. The good news in all of this, the storm is coming. The darkness is coming. It's going to get darker and darker and darker in the world, even in the church. In many churches, it's going to get darker and darker and darker. And this is why I have kept pounding the fundamentals of the gospel.
to you that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh, that he lived a sinless life, he was born of a virgin, that he rose from the dead on the third day, that he died on the cross for our sins, that he is the only way to heaven. That's why I can keep pounding that the Word of God, Genesis to Malachi and Matthew to Revelation, is the inspired, infallible Word of Almighty God. If we get away from these foundations, you're going to be deceived. You're going to be misled. If we get away from the baptism of the Holy Spirit, being full of the Holy Spirit, gifts of the Holy Spirit, and learning to listen and be sensitive to God, we're going to be deceived. All of these things are vitally important. But God made this promise. He said it's going to get darker and darker and darker in the world. But for my people that truly love me, that truly walk in faith, that truly seek me, that the ones that draw near to me. What does God promise? He says, if you draw near to me, I will draw near to you. James chapter 4, verse 8. He's promised if we draw near to him, he will draw near to us. And he says right here, it's going to get darker and darker and darker in the world. Gross darkness is going to come upon the people. But my light and my glory will arise on my people. And that glory is going to be seen. Let me tell you, if you're one of the people that stay with Jesus, stay with the truth of the Word of God, stay with sound doctrine and the foundations of our faith, and you let your light shine, as it gets darker and darker, you're going to be seen brighter and brighter. It's going to become more and more obvious who is serving God and who is not. Here, that his glory and his light will arise upon his people. And then he says this, they will come from far. The abundance of the sea, many will be converted. See, we're going to have revival in the midst of the darkness. We are. The book of Daniel says it. Daniel 11. Just go read. Go read Daniel 11. And what does he say? He says, what? The people that know their God in the time of the end, in that time of darkness, in that time of tribulation, those who know their God will be strong and do exploits. He says, those who know him, those who are wise, will turn many to righteousness. But he says, even some of the wise and some of those who understand will fall, meaning they will die for their faith. That will come too. We are headed into the tribulation. I'm telling you. There's things I'm going to wait and I'm going to talk about at the conference. We may very well go into October 5th and 6th with the peace treaty that Daniel speaks about, dividing the land of Israel, that marks the beginning of the tribulation period. That may happen by the end of this month. Whether it's at that time or not, but it's that close. And I'm going to get into the details of that. Stuff that the Lord revealed to us back in 2011, 2012, starting to begin to unfold now. We're getting closer and closer. And I told my wife yesterday, I said, 2020 and beyond. Whew. I just see it snowballing downhill. So, pray like you've never prayed. Fast and seek the Lord. Get his word in you. Learn to be sensitive to his voice and prepare whatever you need to prepare, whatever you can prepare, to be ready for those difficult days as you possibly can. Now, do I have a time frame on any of this? No. You know why? Because God can step in and do something and give us more time. That's why we need to use our time. That's why I believe when the Lord gave me that open vision, I saw him standing and have just it's the vision I saw is the vision that Stephen saw. He said, I see the Lord standing. Saw heaven open. I saw it. I don't care. I don't care who doesn't believe it. I don't care at all. I was wide awake. And that God opened a window and I saw in heaven. And the Holy Spirit came on me so strong, I thought that Jesus was coming. I literally thought he was coming. That's how strong it was. And he said, waste no time, for there's little time left to spare. Think about that. He told me that in 1987. Waste no time, for there's little time left to spare. What do you think's left in 2018? I can tell you this, what's left. There's no time left to spare. It's time to be serious about Jesus, about him being Lord of your life, about getting sin out of your life, about not being lukewarm, about not being a prodigal, and about not letting lust and temptation take you away or drugs or alcohol take you away. It's time to get serious. It's time to repent. It's time to make Jesus Lord of your life. It's time to be born again. It's time to be filled with the Holy Ghost. It's time to operate in the gifts of the Spirit. It's time to tell everybody you can about Jesus and the truth that they must turn from sin and be born again, or they're going to die in their sins and go to hell. It's time to tell the whole truth and not be ashamed of it, that the world is flat and it's covered by a dome, just like God said. And there's an above and there's a beneath. And beneath us is hell, and above us is the throne of God sitting upon that crystal glass dome. And I don't believe NASA, and I don't believe the Pope, and I don't believe most of these mega church pastors. I believe the Word of God. I can tell you one thing. The person that believes the Word of God, every single word, will never be shamed on the day of judgment. Nor will God be ashamed of you. Remember, he said, if you're ashamed of me and of my words, I'll be ashamed of you. See, I'm not ashamed to say homosexuality is an abomination. God said he hates it. He detests it. It's unnatural. He said, even if you approve of homosexuality, you are worthy of death. I'm not ashamed of that. You know what? But there's hope for the homosexual. Because they can come to God and say, forgive me, help me, set me free. Let the blood of Jesus cleanse me, wash me, and deliver me from that demon, that homosexual demon. See, I'm not ashamed. There is a hell, and it's burning. It's going to be torment and eternal separation from God, and you will not cease to exist there. It's eternal punishment. How can it be eternal punishment if you're annihilated in it and you cease to exist? How can it be eternal punishment? Jesus said in Matthew 25, these shall go away into eternal punishment. The smoke of their torment. Said, if you take the mark of the beast, if you follow the system that they're going to push upon us, if you give into it and you take their mark, or you worship the beast, or you pledge your allegiance to this evil system that's coming, he says very plainly in Revelation 14, it says, you will be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels, and the smoke of your torment will rise day and night forever. But we got people like Noel Hadley and some of these other nuts saying there is no hell. You'll just be annihilated. You'll cease to exist. That's not what the Bible says. And I'm not ashamed of the fact. People say, oh, that's the hell. It's the worst thing we can talk about. Well, Jesus talked about it a lot. The apostles talked about it a lot. It's talked about by the prophets. Hell is real, and it's eternal punishment and separation from God for being wicked and rebellious and being just going opposite of God's way. See, you want to know why there's eternal consequences? Because everything you do and everything you say, everything I do and I say, everything will influence people either away from Jesus Christ or to him. Jesus said, you're gathering with me or you're scattering. And it's only his truth that sets the captives free. That's why I've never been ashamed of it. The truth of heaven, the truth of hell, the truth of judgment day, the truth of the end time wrath that is coming.
God is angry. You know, the Bible says God's angry with the wicked every day. Wait a minute, Pastor Dean. He loves people. Yes, he does. Have you ever, listen, I have, and right now there's a couple of them, well, one in particular, that I'm angry at and I'm upset with. Doesn't mean I don't love her. But I'm not pleased at all. And it's only my patience and God's grace sometimes that helps me keep my mouth shut to say what I really want to say. But God is not playing games. If your life, and you've claimed to be a Christian especially, and your life has been lukewarm, compromised, sin, in and out, up and down, and you've influenced people away from Jesus, you've been a stumbling block. You've been a bad influence. And that affects someone for eternity. You think you're supposed to get off scot-free? No. The decisions we make have eternal consequences for us and everyone around us. How cannot heaven and hell have eternal consequences or reward? It's ridiculous. In fact, the same word for eternal punishment is used for eternal life. Eternal. Christians, oh no, we can't talk about that. That's just, that puts God in a bad light, that hell thing. It's called punishment for crimes committed against God and man. We don't seem to have a problem with the serial killers getting life in prison or executed. But oh, we can have some pastor that leads thousands and thousands of people away from Jesus into false demonic things and ends up leading them away from the Lord in eternal life. But there's no place for him. He's going to go to heaven. Oh, we got people. Hitler's going to be in heaven. I was like Podesta, they're going to be in heaven. Yeah. You better wake up. There is a heaven and there is a hell. And you will spend eternity in one or the other. Oh, and you want to get technical about it. Oh, yeah, hell will be put in the lake of fire. Okay. All I see that is bad going to worse. Right. He says that the wicked who are raised up, you get a Revelation 20, the wicked who are raised up at the end of the thousand-year reign of Jesus on the earth, he says they're going to be placed in the lake of fire where the beast and the false prophet are. We say, well, see, it's fire. You'll just all burn up and get gone. Really? How does the smoke of your torment? Let me say something. If I put a log in the fire, and the log's burning and creating smoke, and finally the log's gone completely, will there be any more smoke? There's nothing to burn. Will there be smoke? It's real. Say, Pastor Dean, it makes me uncomfortable. Good. I hope it does. You know, I don't go 100 miles an hour down 2nd Avenue because I have a fear of getting a ticket and put in jail. Right? I don't want to give the government any more of my money. And I don't want to go to jail. So guess what? That's a good reason for me to not go 100 miles an hour down 2nd Avenue. But what if you cause a little one to stumble? Jesus said it was better for you that a millstone were hung about your neck and you were drowned in the depths of the sea. Think about something Jesus said about Judas. Jesus said, woe to the man that betrays me. It would have been better for him to not have been born. You betray Jesus by not believing what he said. You betray Jesus by claiming his name and not living for him. Even Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things I say? Paul told Titus, they proclaim, they profess to know God, but their works, they deny him, being abominable. We have so many people calling themselves Christians in fornication, adultery, homosexuality, drunkenness, sorcery, drug use. They just live in these things. Oh, I love Jesus. No, you better get out. You better get out of them. It's time to get serious. Anyway, let's stand. I want to do that last song we did. Let's worship with us with this song. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we come today in Jesus' name, Lord, our church and those watching with us. Lord, we come and we pray right now for our country. We pray for President Trump right now. Lord, ask you to bless him. Ask you to lay your hands upon him, to protect him. We ask you to give him wisdom. God, we ask you to use him in a mighty way, Lord, to defend our country against this betrayal that we're facing. Lord, this coup that's being attempted, the undermining, God, of our freedom. Lord, nobody wants that. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus for your grace and mercy. Lord, we've all sinned and contributed to the cup of iniquity, the cup of judgment that we deserve. And we do know, Lord, judgment is coming, and we do know that the enemy is coming. Lord, we want to be close to you. We want to be hearing your voice. We want to be discerning what you're saying and doing. We want to be a light. We want to be the light of the city on a hill, the light of Jesus to people around us. Lord, help us to quit being distracted, to quit listening to deception, to error, to lies, that we would get alone with you, we get in the Word, we would pray, we would fast, and we would hear your voice so we can discern what you're really saying. So that we can prepare ourselves. Well, I pray this today in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, anybody have anything before we dismiss? You know the drill. Hug some necks before you leave. Oh, and a quick meeting. Don't leave yet.